And today I have the privilege of introducing Cicely Brown. She's going to be sharing the word with us. She is so. There's a few of us that are in a past kind of a preaching cohort together, mentoring cohort together, and Cicely is one, and I know that she brings such a treasure chest of life and God and missional thoughts with us. She study with at Azusa School of Global Leadership, and so she's been holding on to a lot, and I am so glad that she has agreed to share with us some of those things. But most importantly, I think you know, Cicely is a wife of Mr. Brown right there. And also, more importantly, I think, for today, the mother of Elijah. So, and Elijah is outside, all right? So let's welcome Cicely once again. Thank you.
Oh, this is right here. Good morning. It's okay to be on this side? All right. Good morning, y'all. This is a weird request right now. I'm Cicely, but is it okay if I take a selfie? Because I'm kind of... This is a first since high school, getting up in front of the pulpit. Oh, you can take with all of us? You're included. Yeah. I've finally been posting on Facebook and Instagram, so I figured that I might as well take this moment to remember this Mother's Day. Is it okay? All right. Okay, and I'm old school, so I don't really know how to do this, but... Did I miss y'all over there? Hold on. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm starting to learn how to use technology. Thank God I'm a mother, because I just switched from an Android to an iPhone, so I'm a little behind in times. We're still working on it, right? So, good morning and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. It's such a privilege and an honor to be here. I just am amazed that God is allowing me to finally open up and get up here and speak. It's just, I need to listen sometimes, right? A little stubborn, but it's all good. We're here today. So happy Mother's to y'all. And I know Pastor Kevin already introduced my family, but I want to introduce myself a little bit more. I've been attending New City Church for the past 6 years. Mainly half of it has been online due to COVID. So I'm here. I want to let you know a little bit about myself, because when you have a pastor or preacher, you want to know like their theological bend. And so first of all, I'm a child of God. That's just my first part of who I am. Secondly, I'm a mother to Elijah Brown, wife to Richard Brown. Thank you for gracing me to give me my son. We're a very multicultural family. I'm Chicana and Filipina. My husband's Black. And so we come through this context of being in the margins, but also like living outside the margins. There's some things that I have an educational background, and so although I say I'm in the margins, there's some accolades that I've attained going to seminary, getting a degree in public health. They're all urban oriented. So I thank God for bringing me through the margins, but being a little different. Also, I wanted to share that because it's Mother's Day, I grew up in a single parent home. So my mom, she raised 6 kids on her own. And she passed away when I was in my mid-20s. And my father passed away when I was a teenager, 13. And so to know that is to understand that I've leaned on God for understanding. I've leaned on God for provision. Not just the provision like, oh God, care for my heart. Provision, providing, having sustenance, getting off of WIC, food stamps, welfare, all of those things, living in low-income housing. I've depended on God for that. So currently, we live in Los Angeles, and I thank God for always providing for us. A little bit about why I'm so social justice oriented is because of my background. And so I've walked alongside day laborers, immigrants, people of color, folks who are trying to attain higher education. And currently I'm working with my sister with previously incarcerated women. We're trying to get them housed. So just keep praying about that. So with that, that's just a little bit about me. I didn't want to come up here and y'all didn't know kind of who I am. So this morning, I'll be reading from 1 Samuel 1. If anyone here has their Bibles and are kind of in the in-between, not yet, like me, I can use some technology and then I use paper for other things. Feel free and pull it out. 1 Samuel 1 is right after Ruth in the Old Testament. So I'll give y'all a minute. So 1 Samuel 1, I'm reading from the NRSV. There was a certain man of Ramathaim, a Zuphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had 2 wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. Though the Lord had closed her womb, her rival used to provoke her severely to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord. She used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow: "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time. Then Eli answered, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then the woman went to her quarters, ate, drank, and her husband and her countenance was sad no longer. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to the house of Ramah. Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I have asked him of the Lord." The man Elkanah and his household went up to offer the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As long as the child is weaned, I will bring him, and he may be in the presence of the Lord and remain there thereafter. I will offer him as a Nazarite for all time." Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the word remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. She brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord granted me the petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." Let us pray. Lord, we welcome you into this space this morning. We welcome your knowledge, understanding, and your living word to enlighten us, especially the mothers here and online. We pray the reading and understanding of 1 Samuel 1 blesses the moms, as well as all of us who have learned or have been shaped by mothers, whether biological, adopted, stepmothers, mothers-in-law, foster moms, and others who have blessed us enough to even identify, maybe as a trans mom towards us, even without the formal title. God, may your word be the center and the light that keeps us focused in your kingdom to come. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning, what I'm going to do first is summarize what has been happening in 1 Samuel 1. And then we're going to walk through four steps. We'll walk through who was Hannah before she was a mom, who was Hannah while she was a mom, who is Hannah after she was a mom, and then we're going to try to make it make sense to our life today. We'll try to get a little glimpse of that. So I'm going to go through this. The context of 1 Samuel is part of the Hebrew Bible. It's considered to be part of the former prophets, such as Joshua, Judges, 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings. During 1 Samuel, there is a setup, or it's the beginning of the Israelite monarchy. We have read 1 Samuel 1, it's the story of the birth of Samuel, and the miraculous birth of Samuel. Hannah is crushed with this condition where she's unable to bear kids. And this is really important because during this period of time, it was important to have a male child, because having a male child means sustenance, means that they would be the ones who would be providing and making the money. Beyond that, this place is like around 1100 BC, if that matters to anyone here. I just found this little knowledge for myself too. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. It gives it context for me. And it's about 13 miles northeast of Jerusalem in Ephraim. So let's go through, who is Hannah before she is a mother? Hannah, it means graced. She's the first wife of Elkanah. She's the first wife because during this time, if someone wasn't able to bear, then the husband was allowed to have a second wife. So that's why he had two wives and he practiced polygamy. She was infertile, and that's what we know. Peninnah, the second wife, or also known as Pearl, she would just cause these hardships for Hannah. That yearly journey to Shiloh, she would always remember and put that in her face, like, yeah, you're getting a double portion, but hey, I'm the one who's bearing kids. So when Elkanah brought those sacrifices, he gave her, Hannah, that double portion because he loved her so much, even though she was barren. Still, Peninnah, her rival, continued to provoke her to the point where she would not eat. And I know y'all know that feeling where you're provoked to the point where you cannot eat. And Hannah just had to deal with this. And so she wept and wept and wept bitterly. So she really wanted children. And that's something that Elkanah and her could not do together. When she was distressed, she presented herself to God. And this is after the feast in Shiloh, on this annual pilgrimage. Everyone would eat and drink. And she just went to the temple and she prayed. And she wept to God. And she just wanted that miracle. If she were to bear a son, she would set him apart as a Nazarite. Now, to me, this didn't make sense that she would set him apart as a Nazarite, because if you're going to have a son, you're going to have a son because they're going to be making money. No, she wanted to have a son. He was going to be set apart. He would be consecrated, and he would be the one who's living out God's call. So this upside-down kingdom, it makes me question sometimes. I was thinking, okay, money, but no. She wanted him to live as a Nazarite. So Hannah's prayer was silent. Eli, the priest, presumed she was drunk, although she was merely praying. I wanted to point out that he probably assumed she was drunk because, like I said, they were drinking. But I want y'all to keep reading beyond what I read, because you'll learn a little few things about his sons. So that's really important. It was probably normal to see folks drinking and sitting there. So just think about that. Is your favorite? So he was just telling her that. And Eli must have been relieved because she said she wasn't drinking. He's like, okay, she's not drinking. She's not doing what I'm used to seeing. So he says, go in peace. The God of Israel grant your petition. So she returned where she was staying at Shiloh, relieved of her distress, that feeling of worthlessness, sadness, that she can't be who she wants to be. And the next morning, she worshiped before God. Her and her husband go back home. They eat. They have marital relations. And God remembers Hannah. So, in summarizing, what do we know about Hannah as a mother? We know that she was the first of two wives. We know she was infertile yet loved. She was provoked to the point where she would not eat, and therefore she fasted in her distress, and she leaned onto God for her value. That's what she did as a mother. Even before she became a mother, she depended on God for her value. So as a mother, who is Hannah? She has Samuel. What does Samuel mean? It means God heard. What did God hear? God heard her cry and gave her Samuel. Now remember all those years she was provoked? Well, year after year she was provoked because her family and the second family would go to Shiloh. And I find it interesting that once she has Samuel, her husband's like, let's go to Shiloh. And she said, no. She took a stand and said, no, I'm not going until my child is weaned. So in her own strength and her might, he allowed her to stay and wean him. She wanted to care for Samuel until he was weaned. So that's about 3 years. And she would present him to God when Samuel was of age. When she went to go present him to God, she reminded Eli, I am that woman that had that petition. So now that she's a mother, and what we do know, Hannah as a mother was no longer provoked or distressed. We don't know that though, do we? She may have been, you know, it's kind of hard having kids sometimes. You got to step away. But there is a little stress. She was a provider. She continued to be a woman of her word, and she cared for Samuel. So thank y'all mothers for continuing to provide for your kids. So that's what we know of her as a mother. But who is she after she's a mother? Okay. I hate to break this to you. Once you're a mom, you're always the mom. That's what I've heard. But just for the course of the sermon, I wanted to see, who is she after she's a mom? It says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. And she left him there. So like I said, dropping some stuff. Although Hannah gave Samuel to God, she still did the prep work to set him apart to be a Nazirite. And also you'll learn, keep reading. I want to say, keep reading. Don't stop here as 1 Samuel 1. You're going to learn she has more kids. Be interested. So she doesn't really not be a mom, but she does give him. And then I could go into 1 Samuel 2, but I know some of you have reservations for your mom, so we'll stop at 1 Samuel 1. But like I said, please read it. And then you'll also see, like, go read Mary's song. There's like, it alludes to some things. So get excited about that too. So at this point, I want to know, what does this story mean to us? How does the story foreshadow the kingdom to come? To me, it appears that the birth of Samuel is similar to that of the amazing birth of Jesus. There is an expectation in this miraculous birth that gives hope to women and the communities in these stories from the Bible. Even when things are not looking right, which is expected in this upside-down kingdom, God shows up and does what only God can do. I, from a 21st century big city dweller, have also experienced Hannah's barrenness. You see, I was diagnosed with PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. And so I, for many years, did not get pregnant. And so, to my surprise, when I had Elijah, that was a little miracle there. It's just, when you're at that point where you think your body cannot do things, but God intervenes, then you know, hey, this is God, this is not me. It was at such a strange time in my life. I had no idea that my mother would die 4 months after my son's birth. So me becoming a mom and losing my mom in the same year was a very strange experience. It was unsettling, But I thank God that I had a mom who dedicated her 6 children to God. And so that gave me hope. At 5 months, Elijah was dedicated to God. And Elijah, I'm sorry, I didn't ask you if I can use you in the sermon. He's probably learning something new today. But I dedicated him to God because, remember, I didn't think that I could have kids. So Elijah was not mine in the first place. God had already imagined who God was before I was even pregnant with Elijah. So during this dedication, which we learn like from Hannah, this is why we do baby dedications. We give our kids to God because God gave these kids to us. And we expect them to just live as maybe that Nazirite. But at a certain age, they make their own decisions. And so even through my sadness, I trusted God during those moments. Because I remember when we were dedicating him, I walked up with a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, a lot of misery, a lot of pain. And yet, as we dedicated him, I could wipe away that shame, that guilt, that misery, that pain, because God was in the midst. It's those far-fetched realities of not being able to get pregnant that we could hold dear. And it's not in our control, but we have to, like Hannah, lean on God for understanding. For you, it may not be that child. Maybe you don't even want kids. Maybe you just want a puppy. Maybe you want a cat. Maybe you want a promotion. Maybe you want to get along with your neighbor or just have a car or have a certain thing, have a relationship. Maybe you're single. Maybe there's something that you're crying out to God about right now in this moment. Maybe you could feel the pain that Hannah's feeling in her barrenness. It could even be that addiction that we're trying to break on our own, but we can't. Whatever it is, maybe, just maybe, we can learn from the story that we're talking about with Hannah. Hannah, her spiritual disciplines include fasting, praying, and relinquishing self-control over the situation. It's in these moments that we can realize that the miracles are miracles. They're not our might. It's not in our strength. These are all God's. We pray for our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our kids, our friends, our neighbors, not because they are ours, but they are God's. We pray for provision, stability, reconciliation, not because these are simply in our might, but they too are God's first. When we have a request, I want you to think about, is this request really yours or is it God's? For Hannah, she lent Samuel back to God. And then you'll learn in the next chapter, she bore more children. So is this reaping and sowing? I want to give you a few seconds to think about that big ask, that need that you're asking God for. I'll give you a few moments. Okay, now that that's on your mind, I just want to pray us out. Abba, Father, we are grateful that you joined us for this beautiful Mother's Day celebration. here at New City Church. You alone are God and worthy of all of our praise. It's because of your sacrifice that we are redeemed and set apart to build upon your kingdom to come. With this, I pray for all of those here this morning who have a need just like Hannah did, who need you in a moment of desperation. God, have mercy on your children. God, even when you provide, we realize what we ask for is not ours, but yours. Our children are not yours. Our parents are not yours. Our children are not ours. Our parents are not ours. Our friends are yours. Our money is yours. Our jobs are yours. Our education is yours. It's all yours, God. It's all yours. So God, just like Hannah, we ask that you remember us. You remember your servant, both here and online, Father. We pray that we can be here in this moment to celebrate. Even those who have just lost their moms, we stand here beside those who mourn, Lord Father, and we hope to hear the stories of celebrations of their mothers and who they were and how they shaped them. Lord Father, touch your children today. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.